It's a great joy for me to be with you here today in Newton Abbey. It's a time of really a renewing of fellowship with your pastor, your minister. We enjoyed having him overseas when he was speaking at the Port Hope Congregation of Special Meetings, and we had him also for a Lord's Day and had good fellowship with him then just a year or so ago. I'm really happy that my wife Jill, daughter Esther, can be with me today. We have had our whole family over here in Northern Ireland, some weddings we're attending, and also a time of holiday, and the rest of our boy, two other boys, have gone home a week ago. And Esther, it's unusual how God's providence has allowed them to be with us here, because going back to 1987, and that goes back, you might think for some of the young people, I'm a bit of a dinosaur, and talking about 1987 goes a long way back, but there's some of you here who will not think that's that long ago. But that's when I commenced the theological training here in the Whitfield College of the Bible. And Esther was just 3 years old when we came over, and she started to attend the school here because Jill was wanting to do some help and if she could be of any encouragement. And so she came along and gave some assistance, and Esther started her school training here. So there are some sweet and fond memories that we have of traveling between and Jill every day from Newton Breda to here to Newton Abbey, and spending the day while I was going in the other direction toward the Theological Hall in Lawrencetown. I want to say a word of appreciation to your pastor and also to your elders, the elders and deacons, the opportunity of being here and of sharing the Word of God. And in expectation, I know that you've prepared some lunch for us afterward, and we appreciate your hospitality in taking care of us. It's also a great joy for me to be able to renew fellowship with my brother Milos, his wife Martina, and their family. We were with them in the Czech Republic just a couple of weeks ago, and we were doing a little bit of a trip through Europe, and we went over to see them, had a week with them, a great time of fellowship, opportunity of preaching the Word there, and of having the baptismal service where two of his children, Abby and Mickey, were both baptized, and they're here with us this morning. Those things are very special and close to my own heart. And I know you have been praying for the work in the Czech Republic, because our brother was here not that long ago to bring you an update on what was happening. So I encourage you to continue on in your prayers for that ministry and work. This last little while for myself personally, for our church in Toronto, and our mission board in North America has been very, very difficult. I'm speaking about the work in Jamaica. I'm speaking about the death of Mr. Brian Morris. We were in Greenville, South Carolina on June the 29th when I received a phone call about this tragedy. I remembered where I was sitting and the feelings that came over me of just unbelief when I got that news. He, along with two of his co-workers, as they worked as security guards, were brutally murdered. And the motive behind the murder, we still are not completely certain. It seemed to be a vendetta, perhaps a desire to thieve and to steal. Life is very, very cheap in the island of Jamaica. There were over 1,300 murders last year alone. We have a population in Toronto of about 3 million. We had 65 murders last year. Jamaica, a population that is similar, in fact, I think it's not even that much, had 1,300. And so people look upon life very differently. And if you look at someone sideways, the wrong way, it wouldn't be much for them to kill you. And if you had a dollar or two on you, that would be enough for them to take your life. Life is very, very cheap. Let me give you a little background about Brian Morris. The work in Jamaica started in 1989. And it started there as a result of one of the people in our congregation who is from Jamaica. She wanted to have a Sunday school witness for children. She wanted to see the children around where her house was or a place where she owned. And so she started a little Sunday school program. And Brian Morris was one of the young people, 12 years old at that time, who attended and came to the Lord. And there was an unusual desire in the heart of this young man, young boy at the time, to desire to study the things of the Lord. He started in his school prayer meetings and little Bible clubs. He had a tree house that he built, and he invited his friends to come to his tree house so they might read the Bible and pray. Very unusual character. The Lord's hand was upon him, and he had a hunger for the Lord's things. He grew throughout the time of the varying missionaries and ministers that went to Jamaica. Perhaps the greatest influence, no, let me say that again. The greatest influence upon his life was the Reverend Paul Fitzsimons. Brother Fitzsimons was in Jamaica over a period of 20 years from 1993 until he really just went home 1992, till he went back in June of 2011. He has been there on three different occasions for periods of about 5 years each. And he has served the Lord faithfully there, and he has really been a powerful influence in the lives of many people in Jamaica, Brian Morris being one of them. Paul Fitzsimons taught them in the issues of Scripture. He went through Bible classes. He taught them homiletics. He had different classes for them for preaching and teaching. And so Brian and Richard Craig, who is another of our deacons there, primarily these two men have maintained their own employment, but have also been a very integral part of that work. From the time of June last year, when Brother Fitzsimons left, these men primarily have had to bear the weight and the burden of preaching and teaching in the church. And so between Brian and Richard and one other man called Randy Gunnings, who has been in charge of the bookstore that is under the authority of the mission board, well, these men have been faithfully holding the fort. And I believe it's time in Jamaica for a national man to really take over. Outsiders coming in can do some work, but they're limited because they're never really going to be accepted by the culture and the people who are there. And we know that. And so there is another young man who has been very much used by God, a young man by the name of Andre Lyons. Andre has gone to university to study to become a school teacher. He's finished his training, and now he has a job in the locality of the church in Little London, Jamaica, where he is going to be teaching in a secular school. But he has a burden. He believes God has called him into the ministry, and this is a very important turn and a way forward for us. And so he is beginning to study online courses as of September this year with Geneva Reform Seminary in Greenville, our denominational seminary in North America. And he wants to really pursue his studies for the Lord's things. And so I would ask you to pray for Andre Lyons, that God would certainly raise him up. So there are really three men now to be prayed for: Richard Craig, Andre Lyons, and Randy Gunnings. And if you could just remember Randy, Richard, and Andre, remember those three first names and bring them to the Lord in prayer that God would strengthen them and help them to maintain a faithful witness for the Lord, it would be much appreciated. The work in Jamaica really has about 30, I suppose, people that would be coming regularly, 25 to 30. It fluctuates up and down. There are still many young people who attend, and we want to encourage the folks who are there to work forward in building up the children's work, the youth work, and in preaching the word faithfully. You know, one of the greatest difficulties, it's not a constituted work. So really, it's a mission church work. And our mission board in North America has the authority, the responsibility, and it falls upon my lap to be directly responsible for them. And so church governance presents a problem, because how can you properly oversee a work that doesn't have ordained elders, does not have properly elected deacons, and there's no minister there? So you can begin to understand how difficult this is, and we are in regular contact with the brethren. But the congregation who comes, though they have respect for the men, they dearly love and long to have a pastor. They want to have someone who is in a full-time capacity with that burden placed firmly upon them, called of God. And that's our prayer, that the Lord would help. Let me come back to Brian and his wife. It was for us a most trying time to hear of those brutal murders. Immediately I went down from Greenville, South Carolina, to be with the family. And those ensuing days were most challenging. Perhaps one of the greatest things and challenges was having to go to identify the body of Brian Morris, a young man I had grown to love in the Lord and known for many, many years. And I have to say to you, I could not recognize his body because they had so abused him, those who had taken his life. And they had stabbed him multiple times, and his throat had been cut. And there were many, many difficulties. And yet, through that time, the Lord's grace was there upon all the congregation, and certainly upon his wife, Lorraine. He has three children, Daniel, 7, Lorenzo, 5, and little Brianda, who is just now 13 weeks old. The last picture we saw of Brian, or that he sent to us, was of him in the hospital holding his newborn baby girl, just a matter of hours old. You see, I had been in Jamaica just at the end of April with one of our deacons, John Fraser from Toronto, and we had met, we were with Brian, with his wife, family, enjoyed good fellowship, and that was just a regular mission trip that we had gone on. Little did we know that 10 weeks later, we'd be going back there again, but under completely different circumstances. And so do pray for his wife and his three children. It was very touching and moving on the day of the funeral. His little son Lorenzo took me by the hand and wanted me to walk to the front of the church where the coffin was. And he pointed inside and simply said, "That's my daddy in there." And that would make a heart of stone melt. Those are trying times. And we need to pray for these young boys as they're now growing up without a father. A young girl who will never know her father. And a community that has been really shaken by this. You see, in the context of Jamaica, a normal family unit is very, very rare. There is much infidelity, much immorality. And so you have children from many different fathers, and yet there is one mother in the home. And yet, in the case of Brian Morris and his wife Lorraine, he had been faithful to that one woman from all his life, to all our knowledge. And Richard Craig, the other man who is the deacon, has had only one wife and now has a young family and is faithful in that family unit. And that is a most blessed and a rare thing. And so for people to wonder, why would God take this man away, Brian, from a community witness? But the Lord has his purpose. Why would the Lord take this man away from a young mother, leaving her now virtually without a support? The Lord's sovereign purposes are not our own. And you know what? Sometimes you and I come to the point where we just don't have the answers. And we must then just rest in faith upon a sovereign God who knows the end from the beginning. And we rest in him. And we say, "The Lord Jesus does all things well. He knows what he is doing, and we must trust in him, even though the times are very, very difficult." One of the most favorite verses of Brian was taken from Philippians 1:21. "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And he quoted that verse often. And you know something? That for him now is in reality. For he has received the gain of his reward. He is in the presence of Christ. 2 years ago, they buried twins that they had, Lorraine and Brian, who died shortly after birth. And the little graves are right next to where Brian's grave is, in the front yard of their home, I might add, because they cannot afford to go to a graveside and buy a burial plot. So it's customary for people to be buried right in the very yard where they live. And so now Brian has been laid to rest there beside his two twin girls. But he has seen them now. That is gain for him. He has beheld his young girls, and they have beheld their father. But in the presence of Christ, they have seen the face of their beloved Savior, and they now are at rest. We have started a fund, a mission board, to support his family. And I know that in Ulster here, people have given toward that fund. Brother George McConnell from the Mission Board is responsible for that. He is collecting those funds, and they are being sent over to our Mission Board in North America, and as well our Canadian churches have been gathering in U.S. ones. And so we are asking for the Lord's wisdom to know how to carefully distribute these funds as the family has need. You can appreciate that someone who has virtually nothing, if they are to receive a great sum of money all at once, it is not the best thing for them. So we want to put this in a trust fund to help the children for their education, for the needs that the family has. And so do please pray with us and for us, for God to give us wisdom and understanding in that way. Thank you for your prayers, and thank you for your attention as I bring these things to you.